Let's pray together. God, we come before you this morning asking you to continue to make our joy complete by sharing with us what you have already shared and what you continue to promise to share with us, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that you will continue to pour out your Spirit upon us, that you will help us to know your will in the big things, in the little things, and everything in between, that all may be for your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So this summer, members of our youth group and members of not the youth group of Bearing went to Honduras. And we did a couple of things, one of which was to build a road. And if you're anything like me, whenever you get onto a mission field and they say, you're going to do road construction, you say, oh goody, praise be to God, we get to do road construction. And then they said, oh, and you're going to weld a fence. Really? And you're going to start from scratch, and we're going to have forms, and you're going to take metal and put it in there and weld, and then we're going to transport these forms, and you're going to paint them and weld them all together. And we completed a job, but the job wasn't complete. And that reminded me of the book of Acts, and it reminded me of the Christian life. Because one of the afternoons when a number of us were painting the fence pieces before we welded them up, we got the paint way too thick, and then they poured a lot of thinner into it, and the paint was way too thin. And so you had pieces of the fence that had this real thick coating of brown paint, and then you had something that was akin to a whitewash type fence that just was kind of had something that looked like paint on it. But you had this long fence row, just like the road. When we got there, part of the road was finished already. And then we did some paving. And then we came home. And someone after us undoubtedly came in and kept the road going. And maybe by this time, the road goes all the way up to the mission. I don't know. Same way with the fence. When we got there, part of the fence was finished. We welded, painted, welded some more, and parts of the fence went up. But then whenever we got on the bus, came back home, there was still more work to be done. It was a fence that went around what they called their refuge. It was what we would call an orphanage. That fence was there to protect these kids that are placed there from outsiders coming in to steal, maybe even to do harm. And our work wasn't finished. Someone else was going to have to come in and finish it. And I know this is Youth Sunday, and we're talking about all the things that the youth in this church did this summer. But when you read the book of Acts, and when you see the first of what amounts to a number of Paul's farewells, this is exactly what's going on. You have someone saying, here is the work of God that's being done among us, and we get to participate in that, but there will still be work to do. And so with that in mind, with that kind of as a way to read Acts 20, here's the first of a few farewells. This is Acts 20, starting in verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I've not hesitated to proclaim to keep you or to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord, Jesus Himself said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." When He had said this, He knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced Him and kissed Him. What grieved them most was His statement that they would never see His face again. Then they accompanied Him to the ship. So throughout the story of Acts, one of the key people that is told in this story is this person we know as Paul. And if you met Paul early on in the book of Acts and followed his story all the way through, this is yet another one of those times in history where you see someone go through tremendous change. Think about who Saul slash Paul was on the day we met him. You remember the day we met Saul slash Paul? Standing there, Stephen is telling the story of God. He participates in the death of one of the storytellers of God, and then fast forward through the story, and somewhere along the way, Paul started doing the exact thing that Stephen was doing. This is a tremendous story of change. It's a tremendous story of redemption, and it is a tremendous story of what happens when God takes hold of someone and says, "You are mine." I think that if we are open to it, while maybe not as dramatic, every one of us gets to participate in that kind of story. When God takes a hold of us and says, "You are mine." Now, I know what it's like, and most of us in this room probably do, whether we admit it or not, whether we kind of paint over it with thin paint sometimes, but when God says, "You are mine," and with our lives, sometimes our response is, "Not so fast, God. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. Call me back tomorrow. I'll be available tomorrow." And you know what the cool thing about that story is? Is thanks be to God, He calls back tomorrow. He keeps grabbing us and saying, "You are mine." He did it with Paul. Because you don't want to be Paul. I don't want to be Paul. Walking along the road, struck blind, terrified by the voice of God. But the The story was never about Paul to begin with. What he hopes to leave, what his legacy is focused on Jesus, not on Paul. You see, the verse that really stands out in this whole thing is right in the middle of the story we just read, verse 24. If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. You remember the dwelling in the Word passage that we had, not the one we have this year, but from previous years, out of Hebrews 12. Let us run the race with perseverance. That's what's going on here. It's a group of people early on in Christianity who compared, for whatever reason, the Christian life to a race. Let's run the race with perseverance, keeping our eyes on the goal. Again, I can't help but keep thinking about this road in Honduras, this fence in Honduras that some of us got to participate in. We went, we did it, the work wasn't finished. Someone else gets to finish the work. But that work was a part of the work of God. And that, whether it's a road, a fence, or a relay race, tends to be the way that the story of God gets told over and over again. But here's the funny thing. Paul did not complete the task. There would always be work to do. There would always be people to teach, to love, to walk alongside in the name of Jesus. If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And what I'm wondering is, when is that task complete? And I think that's the point. Telling the story of God's grace is never complete, because the real task of passing that story on to another person is the task of Christianity. Who will keep running a race? This is not a sprint. Okay, now we've heard this, right? Think back to days of sermons past. Okay, I'm gonna get you to fill in the blank here. How many preachers have you heard through the years say, this is not a sprint, this is a sorry. Doesn't work that way. I don't think it's a marathon. And I don't think that that's the story that we encounter here. I understand what it's about. It's not a short race, it's a long race. You can run a marathon, put your foot on the starting line, cross the finish line, all by yourself. This is not a sprint, but it's not a marathon either. This is a relay race, because we're doing it together. And sometimes you're going to drop the baton, and that's okay. And sometimes you're going to have people on the team who are really fast, and sometimes you're going to have those of us on the team who are kind of slow, and out of breath, and that's okay too. When you drop the baton, stop, pick it up, and keep running. The race is one we run together. And that is the story of Paul and all of the story of the early Christians in the book of Acts. We run this race together. An article in Time last week asked the question of what the comment sections of internet stories are doing to us as a society. Aggressive language has gotten out of hand. But even reading it or watching too much news, for example, can be harmful to bystanders as well. There is a song that we sing among our children that it probably wouldn't hurt us to sing during worship every once in a while. The one that goes, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." You think that'd be appropriate for us as adults to sing during worship sometime? I mean, it's as though we're running a relay race today, and as people shout from the stands, instead of cheering, shout hateful things. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in a race and everyone from the stands is calling you by name and saying, "You're a horrible person. You're a terrible runner. You are a big, horrible thing." I can't even say at church what people say in comment sections of internet stories these days. But you get the picture, right? So, since this is Youth Sunday, let me say something to our youth. Y'all, members of our youth group, you have an opportunity in the years to come to run counter to the norms of today's society. You have an opportunity to be people of peace and patience and kindness. In a world that does not always value peace and patience and kindness, the greatest contribution Christians can make to today's world is a collective contribution of everyday visible signs of God's grace and God's presence. The way God's Word puts it, throughout time, teaches us that God's presence is most evident when we as Christians are people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Other virtue lists throw in things like compassion and gratitude. We get so hung up these days in all of these conversations on what is a Christian really supposed to do? What's the job of a Christian? How am I supposed to be a Christian in today's world? Go be a person of love. Go be a person of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness. It is a cop-out to sit in a chair and say, "Oh, our world has just gone downhill." Gospel doesn't call us to do that. Gospel doesn't call us to be Chicken Little saying the sky is falling. That is not the task of the gospel. If you ever are tempted even to say, "Oh, this world has just gone downhill," that's okay. Then go do something about it. Go do something. When the world spews hate, let us be people of peace. When the world rushes in furious hurry, let us be people of patience. And when the world says and does all things negative, let us be people of kindness. So to our youth, you have the power to change the world. You really do. You remember what it was like to be a teenager? You remember what it was like to think, "I'm going to change the world"? And you remember what age and time did to you? Had just kind of sucked the life out of you sometimes? Or are you just like, I used to believe that? No. Youth, you have the power to change the world. And every one of us does, because that power is not our own. It is the power of God. Go run the race of God's grace. For that matter, the work of peace, patience, and kindness probably extends to our young adults. So, let me address you as well. And it probably extends into our middle-aged adults too. And quite possibly to those who are about to turn 99. Amen.